loaded with two outs. Rafters already up four runs, but looking to add to that in a big way. Ashton Zacher up for the third time today. First pitch is taken a little low for ball number one. 1-0 count. Zacher 0-2 in the game, but coming in with a big opportunity. 1-0 the count. Pitch on the way home from Baker. It's a little low for ball number two. Now 2-0, and Zacher's last time up in the second inning, struck out swinging. Also struck out looking back in the first. So at the very least, hoping to put one into play, but just got to keep the inning alive. 2-0 count on the way home. This one is ripped down the first base line, but it's going to bounce up into the first baseman's glove. He'll flip it back to Baker, and they beat him to the bag. So it is out number three as it goes 3-1 on the putout. But the Rafters are able to manage three runs in the inning thanks to the one hit and one error while they leave three on base. We head to the fourth. It's 7-3 Rafters, as this is WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Base.
Hey, baseball fans, are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Hi, I'm Ashley, a certified radio digital executive. With decades of experience working with small businesses and owning my own, does digital marketing make you feel overwhelmed? Sometimes there are so many choices and packages to choose from. You could just sign up for everything and the kitchen sink, but there's a better way. Call me at 715-496-0710, and I can build the perfect package for your business.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Welcome back into Rafters baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. I'm Austin Thomas as we bring you back in. It's the top of the fourth inning. Rafters up 7-3 here in Witter Field in Wisconsin Rapids as Brennan Cohen is back out to work for his second inning of work. And he recorded just one out back in that third inning, but that's all that they needed him for as he took over for Zach Crotchfeld and recorded the one out in the one batter that he faced. Now taking on a new set of batters. First pitch on the way. It misses for ball number one, a little high. And Dom Jacoby leading off. It'll be Jacoby, Sheffield, and Malamazian due up here in the top of the fourth inning, 1-0 count. This one's hit out towards right field, running up on it. Diaz will dive and make the play in right field. A huge dive from Chris Diaz, and he makes the play. What a dive. Oh, man, the outfield. I tell you what, this year the outfield has made some phenomenal defensive plays. Gunnar Myro, Royce Clayton Jr., and Chris Diaz as well. They have all flashed the leather all season long. And that has been one of the strong suits. And for the Rafters, that right there showing exactly why, as the first pitch to Noah Sheffield is taken for strike number one, an 0-1 count. One away, bases empty in the top of the fourth. 7-3, the Rafters lead. Pitch from Cohen, it's a little low for ball number one. Now a 1-1 count. Noah Sheffield, the right-handed hitting shortstop. It's a righty-righty matchup with Cohen on the mound. Cohen, a couple fly balls to right field that have both been caught by Chris Diaz. 1-1 count. This one is sent into left field instead, but that one gets down for a hit. So a one-out single from Sheffield. And, well, again, that play by Chris Diaz really shown off how important it was, because instead of a runner on likely third base, you're looking at just the runner on first with one away here in the top of the fourth. Rafters do have a bit of a lead, and in what will only be a seven-inning game due to the doubleheader, but still trying to work through it. Second game is going to start 30 minutes after this one concludes. And we'll see what time that puts us at, but got to get through this one first. His first pitch to Cooper Malamazian misses low and away, a 1-0 count. Cohen trying to get through this, and a former starter for the Rafters. He's kind of mixed in as both a starter and a bullpen arm, but he can go the distance. 1-0 count, misses inside for ball number two, a 2-0 count. So as long as Cohen's able to pitch relatively efficiently, then he could stay out here for maybe the fifth and even the sixth, although the Rafters do have an arm warming up. 2-0 count, gets fouled back. Now 2-1. Malamazian up for the second time today. He is 0-0 back in the third inning. It was a walk that he had, and ended up being stranded at third after stealing that base. Jafet Martinez warming up for the Rafters. 2-1 count. This one's hit shallow right field. Running back out to it and not able to make the diving play. Ruiz tried, and Chris Diaz running up on it. He kind of spikes it in the grass. Just wants to make sure that it's accurate and doesn't get past Onyade. So kind of like a bounce pass right there. Either way, it's a single from Malamazian. Puts runners on first and second with one out here in the top of the fourth inning. The Madison Mallards down 7-3, and they've got that offense still poking hits here and there. They've got seven hits on the game. They've actually out-hit the Rafters 7-6, although they've had a little bit more opportunities. Not many. Cohen looks back to second, now brings it home. Here's a grounder towards third base, but foul and picked up by Guerrero, who slips in the grass. Looks like he's all right, and now an 0-1 count. Jordy Lopez up at the plate. Lopez up for the third time today. Left-handed hitting center fielder for the Mallards, and he's reached both of his times already. Back in the third inning, his last time up, drew a walk. He was caught stealing on a pickoff move from Zach Crotchfeldt. 0-1 count. Cohen looks back to second. Now looks home. Brings it. And it misses low for ball number one. Now a 1-1 count. And Lopez back in the first inning, he doubled and came around to score. So he has been having himself a good game. A couple of players with some strong evening so far. 1-1 count, swing and a miss to bring it 1-2. Cohen trying to work on the left-handed batter, but seeing a righty for the first time today, Lopez maybe got in the mindset of taking on the lefty Crotchfeldt. Rafters have to make that same kind of adjustment with Caden Baker. Pitch on the way home, it misses outside for ball number two. 2-2 count. Lopez entered this game, playing a few of them, and batting .400 on the season. Had 10 RBIs and a 10-10 OPS. Pitch on the way home. This one misses inside, nearly hits him. But instead, the count rolls full. 3-2. Runner on first base, Cooper Malamazian. On second, Noah Sheffield. And Cohen, more of a local guy. He comes from UW Eau Claire, recently made a commitment to Roosevelt, as this one is sent down the left field line, but foul just by a bit on the fly ball. So Lopez staying alive up there. He'll see pitch number seven coming up next. Rafters here at Witter Field. They've got both of the games at home against Madison. They were supposed to have one yesterday, but it got postponed to today. That's where we see this first game. It's the final two games of the first half. 3-2 count. It's sent foul on the ground straight back and remains 3-2. Games 35 and 36 on the season. Home game 17 and 18. And the Rafters trying to end this first half on a high note. Hasn't been a first half to remember. 11 and 22 on the season, but hoping to flip that around with a couple of wins here, especially against a top-tier team like the Mallards. 3-2 count with runners on first and second and one out here in the top of the fourth. Still 7-3 Rafters. Cohen trying to keep it at that. Looks back to second a couple times. Now brings the pitch home. It's a little outside for ball number four, and it loads the bases. Three straight batters have reached for the Mallards. And that one, an eight-pitch walk. And Cohen didn't look frazzled on that one. It simply was just too many pitches. Eventually, you're going to throw a ball. That ends up working out in the favor of Jordy Lopez. Brings up Liam Moreno to the plate with the bases loaded and one out. Here in the top of the fourth inning. First pitch on the way home. Hit to the right side. Diving. It's picked up by Ruiz, but he'll just go to first and make the play. But a run does come home to score. It's an RBI for Liam Moreno, although Noah Ruiz likely saves another run from coming across as it goes 4-3 on the putout. And Jordy Lopez moves over to second. Cooper Malamazian goes to third, and Noah Sheffield comes home to score. 7-4 the Rafters lead. Runners on second and third for the Mallards. And now up at the plate, it's the right-handed hitting Mikey Bell. Righty-righty matchup. First pitch, it's taken low for ball number one. 1-0 the count. Bell up for the third time today. He is 2-2. Back in the third inning, his last time up, he saw eight pitches and ended up doubling on the eighth one. It was an RBI for him, and he eventually came around to score. 1-0 count from Cohen. Misses outside. Now 2-0. Prior to that double, Bell also had an RBI single in the first inning, although he was caught stealing second, so didn't come around to score. 2-0 count from Cohen. It misses outside again. 3-0, and Cohen a little bit worried about the batter at the plate, and understandably so. I mean, this season has been a great one for Bell, as he already has two hits in the game. Both of them were on Crotchfeld, however, but plenty of reason to believe that he could do more damage, and so they pitch around him as that one misses outside. Ball number four, and Mikey Bell is on to first base. It loads the bases again. Bell is on first, Lopez on second, and Malamazian on third. Brings up Nate Voss to the plate, who has 18 RBIs this season for Madison. And the team's nearly RBI leader as this pitch misses low for ball number one and makes the count 1-0. The RBI leader is Davis Hamilton, who's played in 23 games. However, he is not playing in this one. Liam Moreno and Nate Voss both have 18 RBIs, although Moreno did just tie the team lead with his 19th. This one a flare out towards second base. It'll be Akko who runs over to it, though. He makes the catch. That is out number three, and so just the one run comes across to score on the two hits. There were no errors, and there were three left on base. We head to the bottom of the fourth. Rafters have a three-run lead here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Summer is here, and construction zones are everywhere. With crews working diligently, it's crucial to stay vigilant for nails and screws on the road. After all, a flat tire can quickly derail your day. If you discover a nail or screw in your tire, head straight to 8th Street Auto. Their expert team will not only assess your tire, but also conduct a thorough inspection of your vehicle to help prevent future issues. Trust the certified professionals at 8th Street Auto to ensure your vehicle is in top shape so you can hit the road confidently and fully prepared for your next adventure.
Hey Rafters fans, don't let online troublemakers steal home. Stay in control with the new My Solaris app. It's a grand slam for parents, letting you monitor and block content, set screen time limits, and keep your family safe online, all from your phone or mobile device. Test your internet speed like a pro, set up guest networks, and prioritize devices to keep your family's MVPs working, streaming, or gaming without a hitch. With My Solaris, you're in command, managing your Wi-Fi like a champ. For more information, visit solaris.net/Wi-Fi. App features vary by internet plan and may require a complimentary equipment upgrade.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Let's get back to the Rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Back in the bottom of the fourth, and it's a seven-inning game. The Rafters up 3 runs. It's 7-4, but got to close this one out strong and hoping that the offense can keep it rolling along. They have been off to a hot start. 7 runs through the first 3 innings. It's 7-4 Rafters here in the bottom of the fourth. First pitch on the way home, misses inside. Madden Akko leading things off. He led off the third inning for the Rafters. So now a 1-0 count. Akko up for the third time today. He's 2-for-2. 1-0 count is called on the lower outside corner for strike number one, a 1-and-1 count. And it'll be Akko, Guerrero, and Douglas due up in the bottom of the fourth for the Rafters. 1-1 count is called again on that lower outside corner for strike number two. 1-and-2 count. Those are some good pitches from Caden Baker. Baker returning for his second inning of work. He recorded 2 outs back in the third inning. 1-2 count. This one is sent foul down the first baseline and in towards the Madison bullpen area, right by the tarp. Keeps the count 1-2. And last time up for Madden Akko, it was a single in the third inning. Came around to score as well. Back in the first, he had a 2 RBI single. 1-2 count, holds off on the swing as it misses for ball number two. 2-2 the count, and Akko trying to stay hot, but now he's taking on a right-handed pitcher. And both Charlie West and Keith Davis, the previous two pitchers, were lefties. 2-2 count, holds off as it misses low for ball number three. And this season, against left-handed pitching, Madden Akko has been a different beast. Although against right-handed pitching, can't be said quite the same thing. Not bad, but only batting .271 compared to .450 entering today. 3-2 count, swing and a foul back as that remains a 3-2 count. So Akko trying to show off the stuff here. Against righties, .387 OBP, .720 OPS. It's not bad numbers, but not quite the same as this one misses low. Ball number four, and Akko is on for the third time this game. A leadoff walk for Akko puts him on to first base as it brings up Jack Guerrero to the plate with a runner on and nobody out here in the bottom of the fourth. Rafters up 7-4, and Aiden Baker, go back to when he came into the game. He allowed a fly ball to right field that was dropped as an error. Then struck out a batter hit the next one with a pitch on an 0-2 count and got a ground out. So he's been relatively strong this game. First pitch on the way to Guerrero, misses low for ball number one. Guerrero, left-handed hitting third baseman. It's a lefty-righty matchup. And this season, Guerrero not bad against left-handed pitching, but it's been pretty similar. Runner on first base is taken low for ball number two. And with Acco on first, he's not a huge steal threat. However, he's got some speed, and he's shown the willingness to take off. See if he tries to. He's leaning, but no takeoff as this one is sent high in the air towards right field on the line. It is not hit with a high enough launch angle, and it's able to be caught by the right fielder Lippi for out number one. So brings up Cameron Douglas to the plate. With one away, runner on first base here in the bottom of the fourth. Rafters are up 7-4. And Douglas up for the third time today. He is 0-1. First pitch on the way. He swings at it, but it's popped foul straight back and out of play. So now an 0-1 count. Douglas back in the third inning. He drew a walk and came around to score as part of the error on the Chris Diaz fly ball. So an 0-1 count. Baker trying to work through this inning. Righty-righty matchup, and Douglas this season struggled a little bit against right-handed pitching. Batting just .231, and runner was almost taking off there, but goes back towards first, and so Aiden Baker had to step off the mound there. 0-1 count still. Douglas, two-way player for the Rafters, trying to get that bat in as this pitch is taken for strike number two and using the DH spot for the Rafters. This season, Cameron Douglas has not had quite the year that he'd been hoping for from the plate. Runner taking off. Pitch misses low and away. Throw on down to second, and they got him. So it's a 1-2 count to Douglas, but now nobody on base and two outs here in the bottom of the fourth as Madden Acco is caught out on the throw. 1-2 count to Douglas. Douglas this year, 630 OPS, has six RBIs, but going to need a home run to make that happen. Sends one high in the air out towards center field. Center fielder is under it at the warning track. He will make the catch, backtracking for out number three. So the Rafters, they keep hitting the ball well, but not able to get anything from it. No runs, no hits, no errors, and nobody left on base. It's 7-4. We head to the fifth here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around in the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
New pitcher into the game for the Rafters. It's Japhet Martinez as Brennan Cohen comes out. He faced a total of eight batters in the game on his 28 pitches when an inning and a third allowed one run on two hits, two walks, no strikeouts, no hit batters, and no wild pitches as Martinez comes into the game. Right-handed pitcher and trying to take over in the game. And Martinez, he will be taking on the 5, 6, and 7 batters in the fifth inning. That's who's due up. You look at this season for Martinez, and it's been very up and down. His last time out, not going to be one that he liked, to say the least. It wasn't a bad outing from his side, but wasn't able to finish it off as Michael Lippi is at the plate. First pitch, a strike. Second pitch in there for a strike as well. 0-2 count. Lippi is 2-for-2 in the game. He had an RBI single back in the third inning his last time up. Here in the top of the fifth, it's 7-4 Rafters. Righty-righty matchup as the pitch comes home. This one's hit well out towards center field on the run back. Miro, he's at the warning track, turns around, and it is out of here. Home run for Michael Lippi. His third hit of the game. He's now just a triple away from the cycle. Man, Michael Lippi. What a game for him, and that's the second RBI of the game for him. He's got another RBI to add to his season totals, and I tell you what, over the Mallards' last 10 games, he'd been batting under 100, but he's 3-for-3 in this game with a double and a home run. And Martinez this season has struggled a little bit allowing the home runs. That another one that he's allowed as that pitch misses high and away. But despite that, he's been able to keep the ERA down quite a bit. He's been plagued by a bunch of unearned runs this season as well. And not sure quite what it is, but 1-0 count is fouled towards the Madison dugout. Missed the Rafters photographer, Becca, by just a bit down there. And well, that's a story to tell. So now a 1-1 count. Nobody out here in the top of the fifth inning. Pitch on the way home. It's a little high for ball number two, a 2-1 count. So 2-1 with nobody out. Bases are empty, and Martinez will send it home to Kosciuszko as that pitch misses inside for ball number three. 3-1, Kosciuszko. He's the left-handed hitting first baseman for Madison. So a 3-1 count. Martinez looking to finish off the batter. Last time up, went 1 2/3 innings, allowed one run. That one a swing and a miss from Kosciuszko. Brings the count full, and Martinez in that inning and two-thirds. That one run was unearned. Allowed two hits and one walk, one strikeout. Sorry, no strikeouts back at Traverse City in the first of the two games. 3-2 count on the way home, sent up the middle and into center field as that'll be a no-out single from Cole Kosciuszko. Puts himself onto first base and brings up Dom Jacoby to the plate. And looking a little more in-depth at Martinez. Man, this season he's allowed 16 runs, but only 7 of them have been earned. So it feels like he hasn't been pitching as well as he had. just been unable to work out of those late inning jams and trying to turn that around. If he can, as this one misses outside for ball number one. And this is starting to get into the later innings. Of course, only a seven-inning game. We're here in the top of the fifth. Rafters only up two runs. Dom Jacoby, the right-handed hitter at the plate. Left fielder for the Mallards. Runner on first base is taking off. After a couple of steps, it's grounded over towards third. Picked up by Guerrero. He'll throw to first, and the throw is in time. A little low, but picked up for out number one. 5-3 on the putout as the runner does advance over to second base. He got the early jump there. There was going to be no getting Kosciuszko on that play, but if he hadn't got the jump, there's a good chance that that could have been a double play. Instead, one out, runner on second base here in the top of the fifth inning. Still 7-5 Rafters. Martinez taking on Noah Sheffield at the plate. Righty-righty matchup. Pitch on the way home. It's taken inside for ball number one. And a 1-0 count. Sheffield up for the third time today. Pitch on the way. It misses outside. Runner taking off towards third, and it's a stolen base. So a 1-0 count with the runner on third and one away. Still a 7-5 lead, but Martinez is going to hope to keep that runner on third. This one is crushed out towards left field, and this one is just going to be watched. Oh, man. Absolutely smoked. This game is tied 7-7, and that's how quickly it can turn around on you. Two-run shot for Noah Sheffield. And, man, that is just the way that things have gone for the Rafters this season. Feels like things have been going so well, and then out of nowhere, you get hits like that. Second home run of the inning for the Mallards. And it brings up Cooper Malamazian to the plate with the bases empty and one out here in the top of the fifth inning. We are tied 7-7. Oh, man, that thing was absolutely crushed. It was a line drive, too. It wasn't one of those moonshots. This one's hit out towards right center field, but it should be playable. Miro on the jog. He will make the catch for out number two. Brings up Jordy Lopez to the plate with two outs and nobody on here in the top of the fifth inning. And Lopez, the left-handed hitting center fielder for Madison. He has reached all three times. Fourth and third innings. Those were his last two times up. He drew a walk as this pitch misses outside for ball number one. And in the first inning, Lopez doubled. So he's been getting a good read on the ball. And well, I mentioned being plagued by the home run ball for Martinez this season, and on the year, he's allowed a few more than he had hoped for. Entered this game with three. He's now allowed five home runs on the season. That does lead the team. 1-1 count after the last one was a strike. Bringing it home, and off speed misses outside to bring it 2-1, and Martinez just hasn't been quite the season that he's been hoping for, but looking to turn it around. 2-1 count on the way home. It is outside for ball number three. 3-1 the count to Lopez. He's already shown off the ability to hold off on pitches. See if Martinez can bring it in here on the 3-1 count. Pitch comes in, gets a swing and a miss early on that one. Great off speed from Martinez. Still nobody on and two outs in the top of the fifth inning. Tied at 7. Martinez takes a deep breath. Now brings it home, and this one's a grounder. High chopper over to second. Picked up by Ruiz. He throws over to first. Caught by Acco for out number 3, but 3 runs come across for the Mallards on 3 hits. There were no errors, and there was nobody left on base. We head to the bottom of the 5th. It is tied 7-7 here in Wisconsin Rapids. This is WFHR 97.5 FM 1320 AM.
Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
A pair of home runs for the Mallards tied this thing up 7-7 in the top of the 5th. Now in the bottom of the 5th, Rafters are going to look to take the lead back. They'll be led off by their 8, 9, and 1 batters in the inning. Gunnar Myro, Hiroto Kobayashi, and Chris Diaz. Up for the 4th time today, Gunnar Myro here. He will look to get on base for the 2nd. He is 1-for-2 in the game. On the mound, it's still Caden Baker, who misses the first pitch low for ball number 1, a 1-0 count. Gunnar Myro, right-handed hitting center fielder, has a 1-0 count. On the way home, this one is fouled back and out of play. Now 1-1, and on deck, another righty, Kobayashi. So you go righty, righty, lefty this inning against the right-hander on the mound. Myro struck out swinging his last time up. 1-1 count, misses upstairs for ball number 2. 2-1, and prior to that strikeout, Myro had singled back in the 2nd inning. Came around to score on it as well. 2-1 count coming home as this one is fouled back. Brings it 2-2, and with the 2-2 count, Rafters looking to bring the lead back in their favor. Starting to get a little dark out here, and light's not on just yet, but some clouds coming over the sky. 2-2 count. As the pitch comes home, this one is a fly ball out towards right field. The second baseman trailing back out, and he will make the catch for out number 1. Brings up Hiroto Kobayashi to the plate with nobody on and one away in the bottom of the 5th inning. And flags are blowing almost straight out here as the first pitch on the way is going to hit the bottom of the zone for strike number 1. Hiroto Kobayashi at the plate. And, well, I will say it does look like we've got some storms coming in. 0-1 count. This one is popped foul and out of play. So now an 0-2 count. And we'll see what can be done about this game. But there is a good likelihood that there might be a delay if this rain continues to come as expected. 0-2 count, check swing. Did he go? Yeah, he did. Strike number 3, and that puts Kobayashi into the books. 2 up, 2 down in the bottom of the 5th. Still 7-7 with the bases empty. Caden Baker trying to work out of this one and send us to the 6th inning, tied at 7. So Diaz up to the plate. Going to try and make something happen. Up for the fourth time to the for the fourth time today. Left-handed hitting right fielder. Pitch comes in, and this one almost hits Diaz, but he backs out of the way. So now a 1-0 count. Mason Oñate is on deck if it gets to him. Diaz just trying to work on any way possible. And rather than the wind blowing straight out to left field, it's now blowing out towards center, and Diaz sends one to left, but it will be caught. That is out number three. And so with that, it does look like the tarp is going to come on the field, and so there is going to be a delay as we will hit a quick break here. Tarp is coming out, which means that there will be a delay in likely at least 20 minutes. So we will see about when we will return. But until then, we are going to head to a quick break, and we'll return you to normal programming back in about 15 to 20 minutes. This is WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Or in the campaign finance issue. He said, look, the super rich pay for these campaigns, and this is what they expect in return. So that made me laugh when he said, this is a good day for you. This is a good payday for you. How did it hit you, Angela?
I mean, how much more clear can you be, right? And that's my takeaway, is that like Bernie has a way of being able to really just be honest and paint the picture. We could talk about stats and statistics and all these things, but being able to paint the picture is something that he's always been really good at. And I think that's why folks resonate with him. And so on one hand, we're talking about these tax breaks, we're talking about the corporations, but also on the other hand, we've been talking with Tanya and all these different things and ways that folks are suffering, getting kicked off of health insurance, not being able to access care, inflation. People are worried about rising costs and rent, all these various things. And so that is also part of the context and the backdrop of these tax breaks. And it feels that like anytime, you know, average folks, working class folks, low income folks are going through it the most is also when these corporations and these wealthy billionaires get to also profit the most. We saw some of the richest folks get even more. People were losing their jobs and struggling. And it feels very reminiscent of that time. The more hard times are for the average person, the more billionaires are able to fill their pockets. And that's disgusting.
Yeah, and I think the way Bernie speaks, he makes it so obvious to people. It's one of the reasons why this bill is so unpopular. I saw a poll on CNN that showed they're underwater by about 20 points here, and yet they're ramming it through. The number to call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, if you want to weigh in on the big, hideous bill or on what Bernie Sanders just had to say about it. Or what he's just about to say, because we have another nice soundbite. Jacob, please play that one for us.
Well, while the rich and large corporations make out like bandits in this bill, what does it do for low-income and working families? Well, let me say a few words on that. If you are concerned about health care, which I suspect that everybody in the world is, this bill throws over 16 million people off the health insurance they have, according to the Congressional Budget Office, by cutting Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act by over $1.1 trillion. In other words, the top 1% getting a $975 billion tax break, and that is coming directly by throwing 16 million people off of the health insurance they have. This bill, for the first time, forces millions of Medicaid recipients who make as little as $16,000 a year to pay a $35 copayment every time they visit a doctor's office. So what is the impact of all of that? You throw 16 million people off healthcare. You charge forced people who don't have any money to pay a $35 copayment. So what's the impact of it? Well, this is not my view. This is what the Yale School of Public Health and the University of Pennsylvania determined based on a study that they did. And this is the result. And it is almost so horrific, so grotesque, that it is difficult to speak about. But they estimate that if this bill goes through with all of these cuts in health care, if 16 million people are thrown off of the insurance they have, over 50,000 Americans will die unnecessarily every year.
Wow.
50,000 Americans.
Now, that was a statistic I hadn't seen before. Mm-hmm. 50,000 Americans will die every year earlier than they would have otherwise. You know, this is, you know, they used to talk about death panels under Obama. This is a real death sentence for 50,000 poor Americans, according to Bernie Sanders. Wow. You know, and they, most of the folks in Congress can't relate to people on $16,000 an hour. That's right. Another part of the huge problem. We got Joe from Madison on the line, Angela, so why don't we take that, Jacob, if that's okay.
Hi, this is Joe. Are you there, folks?
Yeah, we are, Joe. You're on the air.
Yeah, great, great, great. Great show. Really valuable information, particularly from the last guest and especially from Sally Flores, who, man, I talk about the heroes of America. She's right out there fighting for safe and fair maps. I just can't believe her fortitude. When we look at Bernie, we look at a guy who is of an age who could be sitting poolside and going, well, this is interesting, and not worried about it a bit. Yet he's still in there fighting. When I think about patriotism, which is where you started the show, was talking about patriotism and upcoming celebrations for 4th of July, I think about those people who keep pushing and keep pushing. I think of James Cameron out of Milwaukee, who put forth the America's Black Holocaust Museum to tell us all about this history, this awful history of lynching within our country. I think about people like Vince Lombardi, who push to try to have a diverse group of people on his football team, which put him at odds with the majority of what the owners were doing in other places. I think about the movie Selma, and I would urge people, 4th of July, stream that movie and just get a look at what people went through, ordinary people went through to secure their rights, an ongoing battle that still hasn't concluded. And I'm having Bernie finish off this hour just puts the frosting on the cake, because that's what it is. It's people like Bernie who keep pushing, providing the information, and keep pushing us forward for a more fair and egalitarian country. And it's such an important topic. I hope you return to it again and again during this week as we gear up toward 4th of July. Thanks, you guys. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thanks, so. Joe, as always. Yeah, Joe always brings such thoughtful comments. And yeah, Bernie could have, hung it up.
Yeah.
And enjoyed being with his grandkids. And yeah, I just love everything she said about James Cameron, Lombardi. I've heard Joe talk about Lombardi before she mentioned it. I didn't realize that he was, right out there for civil rights. And there's so many people, you know, that we didn't hear about, even if they're famous, that they stood up and did the right thing. Selma is a good movie. There are a lot of good movies to watch about the civil rights era, certainly, and about, upholding our freedoms that we need to do here on the July 4th weekend, as we need to do all the time. But I did love the Bernie, though. And I found other quotes from him today as I was circling around. I mean, he was on Tom Tillis, the Republican from North Carolina, who's quitting because he dared to say he wasn't voting for the bill. I heard Bernie say that the Republican Party has become a Stalinist cult, that you can't criticize the leader without having a severe punishment, without being purged, essentially. So there's Bernie. Thank God for Bernie. And thank God for the Civic Media Radio Network, which you're listening to right now. I'm guest hosting for Maggie Dong, along with Angela Lang. And Maggie will be back next week. And I welcome your calls, 855-752-4842 on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back with a poem from Mary Oliver.
Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the Recombobulation Area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Distinguished television journalist Bill Moyers died June 26th at age 91. In his long career, he earned 30 Emmy Awards, served as President Lyndon Johnson's press secretary, and was a stalwart voice for democracy and democracy reform. On Being a Reporter, Moyers told a Chautauqua Institution audience in 2016, "I was hooked, and in one way or another, I've continued to engage the issues of money and power, equality and democracy over a lifetime spent at the intersection between politics and journalism." From 1964 to 1967, he served as Johnson's press secretary during the passage of the Civil Rights Act and Voting Rights Act. He was instrumental in the creation of public broadcasting, where he later reported for almost a decade. He wrote scores of commentaries for CBS and NBC and produced 70 documentaries for PBS. Democracy and democracy reform appears frequently in Moyers' work, including his Moyers on Democracy podcast and a companion book of speeches. When Moyers retired in 2017, he wrote, "Please remain vigilant and engaged as citizens in the civic and political life of your community and our country. Democracy is fragile, and no one can say with certainty that it can withstand the manifold risks to which it is now exposed." We've linked to his farewell essay and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm co-hosting with Angela Lang. And I wanted to thank Joe again for that call. She is always welcome on the air here at Civic Media. You know, she was stressing this argument or really discussion, the conversation you and I have been having, Angela, on patriotism, how people feel about the country right now. So here's a little fun fact, or maybe a not so fun fact, that executive producer Jamie has provided me. According to Gallup, just 58% of Americans say they're very or extremely proud to be American. That's down from 85% in 2013, and actually the lowest ever recorded by Gallup. A lot of folks unhappy with the way the country is going right now, and I certainly am among them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that doesn't surprised me, like, seeing that number, but it's also very stark contrast, and I don't know if that number will actually mean anything for how folks in power and our decision makers are thinking. Hey, okay, maybe folks should course correct. People don't even identify with being an American, and unfortunately I don't think that the powers that be right now, will, do they care even if people don't feel proud to be an American? No, because at the end of the day, they're going to just push their own agenda, which they think is American.
And right now that agenda is a money grab for the top 1% or the top 0.2%, which is absolutely crazy. You know, every time I get to co-host Angela, I like to bring a little poetry in the last segment just to kind of ease out of the heavy conversation. And so there's this famous poem by Mary Oliver, who is a favorite of a lot of folks, called This Summer Day. And I found it in her own voice. So, Jacob, if we could just play this as a kind of a transition.
Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?
Well, there's a intrusive question.
Big question.
Yes, it is. You know, paying attention relates to everything I think we've been talking about today, just how important it is to pay attention. But so I appreciate that she put that in there. I appreciate that she talked about watching clouds by lying down in the grass. I remember doing that as a kid. I think a lot of us, all of us have done that. But yeah, that imperative at the end for us to figure out, you know, what we're going to do with the time that remains, even though we all die, is a real kind of grab you by the shirt collar and make you stand up and pay attention. How did that strike you, Angela?
I love like the poems and any piece of art that really just kind of takes you out of this chaotic bubble and kind of zooms out into what matters and what life is all about, and literally stopping to smell the roses and to really think about how we want to live our lives. And as someone that works a lot, also trying to find those pockets of joy in these moments too, is that it's important for us to resist, but you know, being able to find those pockets of joy is also a part of resistance, right? Being able to take a moment to stop and smell the flowers and to see about life's beauty, I think, is a radical act these days.
Yeah, pockets of joy. One of my pockets of joy is bird watching, as you know, and so I always try to bring a bird call to the show, just to introduce people to birding if they're not part of the cult of birding yet, or the joy of birding, really. That's going to be the name of my next book, The Joy of Birding. But anyway, I want to go to Horicon Marsh over the July 4th weekend. One reason I want to go there is to see a yellow-headed blackbird. A lot of people don't even know that there are blackbirds that come with a yellow head. Mm. And this yellow-headed blackbird has an ugly sound that I'm going to make you listen to. I saw on some birding site that it sounds like a rusty gate opening. Jacob, do you mind playing that for us? Sounds
that
like a baby crying.
That certainly is something different.
Yeah, it's not exactly a Baltimore Oriole or even a robin singing, but it's quite a cool bird, though, because its whole head is yellow, unlike our red-winged blackbirds that we usually see. And then on its wings when it flies, there's a flash of white, too. So it's a bird mostly of the west, of western marshes, but Horicon's got some. So that's worth the drive. So I'm looking forward to doing that. I hope, Angela, that you'll have a nice July 4th as well.
Yeah, I before we head out, because I made State Representative Darren Madison send me a bird fact. He said birds don't sweat and do not have sweat glands. So to stay cool, they evaporate water through their respiratory tracts, to which he said, quote, their haters could never make them perspire. Oh, and I think that's a cue that we all need.
Absolutely. Thanks for hosting with me. I want to thank our guests, Tanya and Sally. I want to thank the callers and texters. I want to thank Jamie and Jacob. And Pete Schwabe is next. He's always entertaining. Stay tuned to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Senate Republicans are racing to meet President Trump's July 4th deadline to pass his spending and tax bill. Majority Leader John Thune says it's time to get it done.
This, Mr. President, will make this country safer, stronger, and more prosperous.
Democrat Mark Kelly.
This is bad policy. This is going to kick 17 million people off of their health care to give a big, giant tax cut to the wealthiest Americans.
Elon Musk criticized it again today, calling it insane spending. The sex trafficking case against Sean Diddy Combs went to the jury today. Katrina Kaufman is covering.
These are complex charges, racketeering conspiracy, sex trafficking, and transportation to engage in prostitution. Ultimately, racketeering conspiracy carries up to life in prison.
The deliberations were paused today when one juror asked for clarification of the judge's instructions. On Wall Street, stocks finished higher. CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.